done did me real wrong. I mean, I did the same thing to her, but she ain't had no right to do me like that, though, dawg. For real.
You've been seeing him, and I know.
Listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Breezy coming at you live today on October 24th, 2016. If this is your first time listening to my show, I am here every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. and The Eighth Dwarf is everything Disney related. Yes, and I want to let you know that today's topic is Pixar films. I am so excited to be talking about this because I just love literally almost every single Pixar film that is out there today. They're just so well made, and I'm just so excited to share with you all of that. So yes, that is that, and I'm gonna jump right into my first segment, which is 30 Pixar movie facts. And I took this all from hollywood.com, and it's literally spelled the way it sounds, hollywood.com. Wow, that was a mouthful. Oh my goodness. Okay, so starting in at number one, the Pizza Planet truck was originally named Pizza Putt. And this can be found in all Pixar films. So the Pizza Planet truck you can find it if you look for it in every single Pixar film. And it was supposed to originally be a combination of pizzeria and mini golf course, but they decided to change the name. And I think it was a good idea of changing it because it sounds kind of weird as Pizza Putt, because the first thing I thought of was like, what if it was Pizza Butt? I'm a child. I need to stop. Okay. Number two, Dory says P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney 11 times in Finding Nemo. And she also says it partially right 9 times, but only 3 of those times included Sydney being said correctly. And for all my Filipinos out there, P. Sherman equals P. Sherman. Get it? I'm dying. Number three, the villain in Up is named Charles Muntz after the man who stole Walt Disney's production rights in 1928. And I was reading this and I was like, LOL, spill the tea, you guys. So Charles Muntz was named after Charles Mintz, the man who stole the production rights to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. This is what sparked Disney's creation of Mickey Mouse, who far surpassed Oswald in popularity not shortly after the betrayal. So lesson to learn here is don't steal, or someone's going to clap right back at you and you're going to regret it like this dude probably did. Number 4. An earlier version of Lotso can be seen in the original Toy Story. During a meeting of the toys, he can be seen on the shelf, and Woody asks if the toys up on the shelf can hear him, and viewers see a shot of a big pinkish bear. John Lasseter wanted to use Lotso in the original Toy Story, but animators had trouble getting the fur right. Oh, it's okay, Lotso. He served well in Toy Story 3. And I kind of regret saying, oh, it's okay, because he was crazy. Number 5. WALL-E takes place in the year 2805. This time frame is based on Burn-E, which is a short about a robot in the same time period and location as WALL-E. What is amusing about this is that WALL-E finds toys like a Rubik's Cube and an Atari 2600 in good condition, though they're over 820 years old. TBH, just watching the movie, I was like, I'm not surprised that the Earth looks like that in 2805. I thought it would be like maybe much worse. And there are still some people out there who don't even believe in climate change. Like, okay, guys, whatever. Number 6. Merida is the first Disney princess without an American accent. She is also the first Pixar character to be added to the Disney princess lineup. And I think she's also the only princess from Pixar. I'm not entirely sure, but hey, go girl, okay. The only one without an American accent, okay, Miss Unique. Number 7. There is a hint to the next film in the Pixar lineup at the end of The Incredibles. So during the end fight scene, there is a car that resembles Doc Hudson from Cars, which was released 2 years later. All of these films usually have some Easter egg or hint at what's to come next. And I think when I was really reading this, I was thinking, oh my gosh, maybe I saw it, because I watched it a couple months ago, maybe last year. I don't know. It was not so recent, but it was not so long ago. And I think I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Doc Hudson. I love how they do these little egg thingies. Number 8. A113 is a running theme in all of these films. It is a reference to the animation room at California University Arts, where many Pixar employees attended school. In A Bug's Life, Flick is seen standing in front of a cereal box with half the code shown, and it's A113. Again, I freaking love these little eggs. It is so cool how they do that, and you just never know that it's there. Number 9. Billy Crystal turned down the role of Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story. He believes this was the biggest mistake of his career. When director John Lasseter heard this, he called Billy about Monsters, Inc. to offer him the role of Mike Wazowski. He said yes immediately. As you should. I mean, that sucks though. It's watching a movie that you could have been in and then turning it down, like, oh, sorry, dude. That sucks. But I mean, hey, it would be kind of weird to hear Mike Wazowski's voice as Buzz Lightyear. So I guess, you know, things happen for a reason. Him turning it down just had to happen, I guess, you know. Whatever. Sorry, dude, but you got your time to shine in Monsters, Inc., so it's okay. All right, number 10. When Remy is climbing out of the sewers for the first time, he is barked at by Doug from Up. You can't initially tell it's Doug without looking to confirm it's his silhouette. Okay, this one's a tough little Easter egg, because you don't even really know it's him unless you really look. So that sucks that you can't even tell. So this one, you probably have to watch the movie multiple times to actually notice it, because the first round you're going to be focusing on the main characters and like the main storyline. But then if you watch multiple times, you're finally able to look at the little stuff in the background, notice little things you didn't notice before. So that's one of them. Number 11, Sully has over 2 million individual hairs. It took 10 to 12 hours to render a single frame of him because of his 2,320,413 hairs. Well, I guess by this movie they learned how to do fur, because Lotso in Toy Story came out in like, I believe, 1995, and then Monsters, Inc. came out in the early 2000s. So I guess that time frame that allowed them to finally be able to animate fur in their movies. So, you know what? Yeah, that's cool. That's cool because Sully looked really good. Yeah. Number 12. Toy Story is the first animated film in Oscar history to be nominated for Best Screenplay. Well, shiitake mushrooms. It definitely deserved it because Toy Story was a great AF movie. Okay. Number 13. John Ratzenberger has provided a voice for a character in every single full-length Pixar film. He first appeared in Toy Story as Ham. Since then, he's been P.T. Flea from A Bug's Life, the Abominable Snowman from Monsters, Inc., the Fish School from Finding Nemo, the Underminer from The Incredibles, Mac from Cars, Mustafa from Ratatouille, John from WALL-E, Construction Foreman Tom from Up, Gordon Brave, and Yeti from Monsters University. So this dude got so many freaking movies under his belt, and I wish that was me because I wish I was part of it. So this dude's cool. I think, like, after I watch this, I'll be like, oh my gosh, his voice sounds the same in this movie. Well, it's because it's the same dude. Number 14. Samuel L. Jackson got the role of Frozone in The Incredibles because of his voice. Director Brad Bird wanted Frozone to have the coolest voice. We think he got that one right. Hell yeah, he did. Like, that one iconic scene, like, honey, what? Where's my super suit? What? Where is my super suit? It's just too iconic. I can't do it right because my voice doesn't... It's just not as good as Samuel L. Jackson, so I'm sorry. Okay, number 15. Carl never speaks directly to Ellie in Up. When they first meet, Ellie does all of the talking, and then the montage telling their love story has no words, only a musical accompaniment. They don't even need to speak, though, because their love story was literally enough. Like, did anyone else cry from this? Because I can't exactly watch the movie anymore because of their story, because the first 5 minutes are just too freaking sad, and the rest of the movie, I'm just thinking about how sad it was. So, I'm scarred from that forever. Probably forever. Yes. Well, hi-ho, on a little break we go. Remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. And after the break, I will be continuing these 30 Pixar movie facts for all y'all. Okay? Okay. All you people in the club feeling. Yeah. Come on, baby, now. Baby, I had to stop for a second on the balcony. Scoping you down, you're looking fly, you're looking to me. All dressed up and buying your own drinks. And that ain't right. I thought you can't handle it on your own. But you're too damn fly to drink all alone. Can I come bubble with you? To you, I'ma make a toast. Come on, don't talk. Baby, just move with me. Take a sip. Kinda got you feeling dizzy. It's alright. It's alright with me if it's alright with you. And I know you feel too, and that's alright. Pardon me, I'm a bad cop, I'm be a gentleman. And if it's really real, then you can tell me when. And that's when she pulled me close and said, do it again. Come on, don't talk, baby, just move with me. Take a sip, kinda got you feeling busy. It's alright, it's alright with me. If it's alright with you, don't talk, baby, just move with me. Take a sip, kinda got you feeling busy. It's alright with me. If it's alright with you, back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Breezy speaking to you. And before the break, I was telling y'all about 30 Pixar movie facts, but I stopped at fact number 15. So now I will continue the rest of that list, all right? And I got all of these from Hollywood.com, so you can check it out over there if you want to read more other articles they have. Okay, so number 16. Brave features four actors from the Harry Potter series. So Kelly MacDonald, who voices Merida, was Helena Ravenclaw in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. And there was Robbie Coltrane, who was the voice of Lord Dingwall, and he played the lovable Hagrid. There was Emma Thompson, who voiced Queen Eleanor, who was Professor Trelawney. And there was Julie Waters, who voiced the witch, and she was the matriarch of the Weasley family, Molly Weasley. So that's pretty cool. Okay, number 17. Barbie was originally supposed to be a main character and love interest in Toy Story. She was meant to be Woody's love interest and save the group at the end of the film, but Mattel, the creator and owner of Barbie, declined because they thought the film wouldn't be successful. When the movie was a hit, they allowed for Barbie to have a character with personality in Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3. Wow. Okay. Sorry, Mattel. Y'all missed out on this one because you decided to pull out. Okay. So, and I was, oh my gosh. I wish that Woody was with Bo Peep. That's what I really wish for. I mean, Barbie and Woody, that's okay. But the iconic duo is Barbie and Ken. So I guess whatever. But, you know, her relationship with Ken was really good in Toy Story 3. And I think, for some reason, I thought that Barbie wasn't the first Toy Story, but I guess not. I think her first time being in Toy Story 2 was when they're at the toy store, or was it the grocery store? I think it was a toy store, and you see Barbie and all of her friends in their little boxes, and they're having like a pool party, and they're all in their like bikinis and bathing suits or whatever, and then all the other toys are like, ooh, wow, Barbie in bathing suits, oh my gosh, like that's what it was, yeah. Number 18, Wally and Eve each stand for something. So they're both an acronym. WALL-E stands for Waste Allocation Load Lifter Earth Class. EVE stands for Extraterrestrial Vegetation Evaluator. Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got. Number 19, Sid is inspired by a Pixar employee. He is said to be inspired by a former employee who used to disassemble toys to use their parts to build odd creations. That's not creepy or anything. When I first read the title, I thought it was like a total diss, but I guess not. I guess you could see it as something cool, but I thought it was something like weird. Like this, I think it's a diss because, you know, what if that was something he wasn't too super like confident about, or I don't know. I'm just turning this into something else, but I think it's a diss. I wonder what he was thinking when he first saw, like, oh my gosh, y'all did that based off me. That hurts. That's how I would feel. Number 20, Josh Whedon from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Marvel's The Avengers reportedly created the character of Rex in the Toy Story franchise. Well, thanks, dude. Rex is a great character, so I appreciate your creativity. And you made a really good character. So that's it. That's all I gotta say about that. Number 21. During Edna Mode's suit demonstration, we get a hint at Jack-Jack's powers. His suit, being able to withstand up to 1,000 degrees, predicts his ability to turn into a human flame, and the suit being riddled with bullets predicts his ability to turn to lead. Ooh, that is so cool. I think when I first watched, or when I watched it maybe my fourth or fifth time, I noticed that Jack-Jack could do it because they did it based on the superpower. So you only the person that they use, or the mannequin or the dummy that they use, that was for Violet's powers, it looked like Violet. And then for Jack-Jack, you could see what powers or what kind of things his suit needed to be. So I think I already knew about that one, so they didn't get me there. I don't know if that made any sense, but I just said it, so whatever. Okay, and honestly, I do think that Jack-Jack had one of the coolest powers, because this was a bunch of random stuff, and he was a little baby when it happened, and like at the end of the movie, you're like, oh my gosh, Jack-Jack has powers? That's his powers? It's just mind blow. Okay, number 22. When Carl and Ellie go picnicking up, they wind up under the tree from A Bug's Life. Okay, first of all, this scene is hella freaking cute because it's when they're laying on the hill under the tree and looking up at the blue sky with all the clouds, and it's when they find out that Ellie's pregnant. Because they see in the cloud, like, you know how sometimes the clouds, you look up and you see, oh my gosh, it looks like a dragon or a little bunny. Well, you know what Ellie and Carl saw? They saw a child. It's their future child. But if you watch the movie, I'm just going to spoil it for you now. She had a miscarriage. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Did anyone else cry at this part? Oh, it hurts so bad. Yeah, so I haven't watched the movie recently, so I think it's finding out that she was pregnant or that they were deciding to have a child. Either way, this movie was sad, at least the beginning part, learning about their relationship. All right, so this hurt my soul, okay? It hurt too bad. Number 23, Ken wears 21 different outfits in Toy Story 3. I don't blame it. Blame him at all, because this is literally me in the morning trying to find an outfit for school. I can try on 21 different outfits, and by the 21st or 22nd, I'm still not satisfied, and I'm just like, you know what, F it. I'm going to wear jeans, put on a shirt, and wear some old jacket that I should wash, but I didn't yet. So that's Ken. I feel you, but Ken's fashion was way more better than mine, so there's that. Number 24. So William H. Macy originally recorded all of the lines for Marlin in Finding Nemo, but he was replaced with Albert Brooks, who reportedly after then Disney CEO Michael Elsner infamously remarked that the film would not do well. So that really sucks, because William H. Macy spent all of his time recording all the lines and doing all that, getting into character, and then it turns out, oh no, we don't think the film's gonna do well, so we're gonna replace you. That sucks. That really, really sucks. But I hope he's doing okay right now. Number 25, Patton Oswalt got his role in Ratatouille because of his stand-up. Director Brad Bird heard his stand-up comedy at Black Angus Steakhouse and cast him for the role of Remy. This is cool, you know, just casually being there. And then all of a sudden, this one of the people who work for Pixar decided, hey, I think you're really good for this role. I want you to be the voice of this character. I wish that was me. Honestly, if there's anyone from Pixar listening, does my voice fit anything? Because I can do multiple voices, okay? Holla at me, all right? DJ Breezy up in here. Number 26. In Cars 2, on the plane ride to Tokyo, Mater and Lightning are watching a Cars version of Takeshi's Castle, which is an old Japanese game show. And I think it's cute how in both Cars movies, everything becomes cars. Like in the first movie, the bugs were little cars. And that's honestly like the only time I'll ever appreciate flies and bugs, because they were shaped like little cars. So I wouldn't mind them like sucking my blood. Oh, that sounds so weird. Whatever. Number 27. A lot of the plot for Toy Story 2 was rejected plots from Toy Story. Some of those plots are the Buzz Lightyear cartoon, the yard sale, and Woody's nightmare. So, hey, that's cool. It's like maybe people who thought of these ideas were like, oh, I want, why didn't we put this in the first movie? Okay, we'll just put it in the second movie. So that worked out. I hope they're not mad about it, because it worked out. All three movies are really great, and I'm going to talk about them later because I love them so much. Number 28. The song Miss Squibbles listened to in her car in Monsters University is Island by metal band Mastodon. And she just wanted to listen to her tunes, and I think this was, like, the funniest thing. Like, if you've watched it, the scene was hilarious because you're expecting her to just listen to her tunes and play something hella sweet and sweet, but it turned out to be heavy metal, and like, what the heck? Okay, dude. Number 29. The man who designed Eve in WALL-E also designed the iPod. Apple's senior vice president of industrial design, Jonathan Ive, co-designed Eve. Maybe I was also named after him. That's what I was thinking, because maybe his last name's actually pronounced Eve, not Ive. So like Eve. Maybe it's, I don't know, but that's really cool. That's cool. Okay, Number 30, the last one. In Toy Story 3, the infant actor that voiced Big Baby had the real name of Woody. The film crew had a lot of babies audition by recording them saying the line, which is, "Mama." And then the director has joked that the reason they chose this baby was because of his name. So, I mean, I don't blame him. I'd probably do the same because a baby named Woody, I mean, what are the odds? So that worked out well. That's really cool. But yeah, what a lucky kid. I wish that was me. I just want to associate myself with Disney and Pixar whichever way I can, which is why I'm talking about everything Disney related on the Eighth Dwarf. All right. So hi-ho, on a little break we go. Right after this break, I'm going to be talking about my top 10 fave top 10 fave Pixar films. All right, so stay tuned for that. And remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. Can I come bubble with you? To you, I'ma make a toast. Come on, don't talk, baby, just move with me. Take a sip, you kinda got your feeling dizzy. It's all right with me if it's all right with you. With the corner perfume, smelling all good, it's getting hot in the room. All pressed on you, and I know you feel it too. And that's alright. Pardon me, I'ma back up and be a gentleman. And if it's really real, then you can tell me when.
Tell me,
and that's when she pulled me close and said, "Do it again." Come on,
don't talk, baby, just move with me. Take a sip, I kinda got you feeling busy. It's alright,
feel
so good. Vibe with me, if it's
hey,
alright with you. Oh, baby, don't talk, baby, just move with me. Take a sip. It's alright with me if it's alright with you. Oh, baby.
From break we go. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. And before the break, I was talking about 30 Pixar movie facts that you may not know of. And now I'm going to be talking about my top 10 favorite Pixar films. And this is in no particular order because I just love every single... Well, I don't want to say I love every single one of them because some I love more than others, but... This is in no particular order, and I got all of this information from IMDb, so the information is the synopsis and all that good stuff. So, I'm gonna number them and put them in an order, but it's not by favorites, so disclaimer, all right? Okay, number one, Toy Story 1, 2, and 3. I decided to put it all together because they are all well-loved by me. So, Toy Story, which was released in 1995, Woody, a good-hearted cowboy doll who belongs to a young boy named Andy, sees his positions as Andy's favorite toy jeopardized when his parents buy him a Buzz Lightyear action figure. Even worse, the arrogant Buzz thinks he's a real spaceman on a mission to return to his home planet. When Andy's family moves to a new house, Woody and Buzz must escape the clutches of maladjusted neighbor Sid Phillips and reunite with their boy. Iconic. That's not really all I gotta say about it. that was an iconic movie. It still is. It's just freaking fantastic. I love it so much. It started a great legacy. I guess that's the best way to put it. Toy Story 2, which was released in 1999. Woody is stolen from his home by toy dealer Al McWiggin, leaving Buzz Lightyear and the rest of the gang to try to rescue him. But when Woody discovers that he's actually a valuable collectible from a once popular television show called Woody's Roundup, and is reunited with his horse, Bullseye, Jessie the yodeling cowgirl, and his faithful sidekick, Stinky Pete the prospector, he doesn't want to leave. TBH, to be honest, NGL, not gonna lie, this movie featured a lot of creepy characters and a lot of creepy stuff. Like when Woody is being like furnished, the old dude was hella creepy and painting. Oh my gosh, like all the close-ups that they gave, oh my gosh, I was creeped out. I got little chills and stuff. I was not expecting that at all. And also the part when, like, if you haven't watched this movie, which I don't know why you haven't yet, but anyway, if you haven't watched it, Stinky Pete the Prospector, he's, like, this creepy dude who's like, no, Woody, you have to stay with us, and blah, 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 like, hella angry and stuff. And he was so creepy, unexpectedly creepy, I was not feeling his vibe at all. I did not like him. He does have the name Stinky Pete. He got a stinky attitude, too. Jeez. And then Toy Story 3, which was released in 2010. With their beloved Andy preparing to leave for college, Woody, Buzz Lightyear, Jessie, and the rest of the toys find themselves headed for the attic, but mistakenly wind up on the curb with the trash. Woody's quick thinking saves the gang, but all but Woody end up being donated to a daycare center. Unfortunately, the uncontrollable kids do not play nice, so Woody and the gang make plans for a great escape. This movie got me on the edge of my seat. If you watch this movie, you probably cried too, because I was trying, as I was sitting in my theater seat, I was trying to hold back my tears because I didn't want my cousins and my siblings to make fun of me for crying at the movie. So I had to hold in my emotions, but I really just wanted to cry because I was not prepared for everything to happen that did happen in the movie. It was all too much. I was in like middle school at this time, okay? I was very emotional, all right? It was too, but seriously, who didn't cry at this movie? Because it was like the end of it all. Like the end of a legacy. How can you not cry? Number two, Cars, which was released in 2006. While traveling to California to race against the King and Chick Hicks for the Piston Cup Championship, Lightning McQueen becomes lost after falling out of his trailer in a run-down town called Radiator Springs. While there, he slowly befriends the town's odd residents, including Sally, Doc Hudson, and Mater. When it comes time for him to leave, the championship is no longer his top priority. Wow. Wow, oh wow. I love this movie. It was so cool seeing all of these cars. I was never really into cars, like, in real life, but this movie was just so interesting. And it made me really want to live in, like, the cozy cone and try Flo's drink. But that dream came true because California Adventure knows what's up and they recreated Radiator Springs. Thank you so much. And oh my gosh, I remember, like, my brother was totally obsessed with this movie. Like, he got the video game. He played it literally the whole day and never got to watch TV. And he was listening to the song Life is a Highway for weeks. And he doesn't really like that type of music. So I was like, okay, you're obsessed. All right, bro. Number three, The Incredibles, which was released in 2004. In this lauded Pixar animated film, married superheroes Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl are forced to assume mundane lives as Bob and Helen Parr after all superpowered activities have been banned by the government. While Mr. Incredible loves his wife and kids, he longs to return to a life of adventure, and he gets a change when summoned to an island to battle an out-of-control robot. Soon, Mr. Incredible is in trouble, and it's up to his family to save him. Okay. So, back to the iconic scene again. The, honey, what? Where's my super suit? What? Where is my super suit? Seriously, I don't think Pixar can ever top this. It is too iconic. Literally everyone can recite this part. Frozen is just great. This movie is great. I'm so freaking excited for the next one. Wow. Okay. Number four, Monsters, Inc., which was released in 2001. Monsters Incorporated is the largest scare factory in the monster world, and James P. Sullivan is one of its top scares. Sullivan is a huge, intimidating monster with blue fur, large purple spots, and horns. His scare assistant, best friend, and roommate is Mike Wazowski, a green, opinionated, feisty little one-eyed monster. Visiting from the human world is Boo, a tiny girl who goes where no human has ever gone before. So I was reading somewhere, I can't exactly recall which place, but it stated that the child screams in the movie were from the actual children of the animators. And I thought this was a really cool fact. And it actually kind of gets you thinking, like, how did they manage to record all of them? Did they, like, have the kids sitting in front of the mic and then all of a sudden they just scare them and they scream? I think that would be cool. Or a little traumatizing. I don't know, but that's pretty cool. Just, you know, like, you can pinpoint which... Oh my gosh, that was my scream when I was, like, 4 years old. Wow. And, oh my gosh, I really love this movie, especially the part when Roz, the slug lady, is like, I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching. I can't do it that great, but she or he, I don't know if it's a man or a woman who did it, but good job, all right? That was funny. Number five, Inside Out, which was released in 2015. Riley is a happy, hockey-loving 11-year-old Midwestern girl, but her world turns upside down when she and her parents move to San Francisco. Riley's emotions, led by Joy, try to guide her through this difficult, life-changing event. However, the stress of the move brings sadness to the forefront. When joy and sadness are inadvertently swept into the far reaches of Riley's mind, the only emotions left in the headquarters are anger, fear, and disgust. Yo, what a great movie. So I watched this a little later than everyone, and that doesn't really matter because it was still a great film. Like, it doesn't change if I watched it later. But having watched it late, I got to read a lot of spoilers that people gave. And some people were saying how it was really great that Riley had a unisex name, and the fact that people who may work with children can use this film to help kids express the emotion that they're feeling. So if they're feeling happy, they just grab Joy and they could put that out, like having little trinkets or little figures of them. So that's really cool. Like, how great is that? And it kind of makes you think, like, was that their original intention, or did that kind of just happen, or did they think about it along the way and think about the future and, like, what this could mean? I don't know, but it's cool what that outcome was. And I also really, really love the game that they have in the App Store, which is called Inside Out Thought Bubbles. I am obsessed. I'm literally obsessed with this game. I am so obsessed that I've reached level 754, and that's not even the highest level. They are still updating. So that's where it stopped right now. So basically, I'm so freaking good at this game that I reached the highest level that they have released so far, and they're still adding more, okay? I'm just that good. I'm so freaking in love with this game, and if you haven't played it, you should start playing it now and come reach my level. All right, okay. Number six, WALL-E, which was released in 2008. WALL-E, short for Waste Allocation Load Lifter Earth Class, is the last robot left on Earth. He spends his days tidying up the planet one piece of garbage at a time. But during 700 years, WALL-E has developed a personality, and he's more than a little lonely. Then he spots Eve, a sleek and shapely probe sent back to Earth on a scanning mission. Smitten, WALL-E embarks on his greatest adventure yet when he follows Eve across the galaxy. Okay, anyone else think that this was cute AF? Or at least, like, Eve and WALL-E's relationship? Okay, it was so freaking cute. Like Eve, WALL-E. I can't do it, but it's just so cute. And I really like how this movie kind of gives you a wake-up call, but in a way that's, I guess, more accessible to any age viewer. Yeah. Like, some of y'all don't even recycle, and y'all just eat too much. Like, it's letting you know that you need to recycle and you shouldn't be eating so much. Okay, exercise a little bit. Number 7, Finding Nemo, which was released in 2003. Marlin, a clownfish, is overly cautious with his son Nemo, who has a foreshortened fin. When Nemo swims too close to the surface to prove himself, he is caught by a diver, and horrified Marlin must set out to find him. A blue reef fish named Dory, who has a really short memory, joins Marlin and complicates the encounters with sharks, jellyfish, and a host of ocean dangers. Meanwhile, Nemo plots his escape from a dentist's fish tank. How cute of a movie is this? Ah, yes. So it's so cute in the beginning, especially when he touches the butt and he's like he's gonna touch the butt, or when like the little octopus is like, "Aw, you made me ink. Oh, so cute." Or when the group in the fish tank are like, "Shark bait, hoo-ha-ha." I love that. And Darla is such an iconic character. Like, wow. This movie, so freaking cute. Like, it's so easy to recite lines like, what's it, squirt? It's like, you gotta do it or something like that. I can't really recall it. But it's still freaking cute. Okay. I keep saying like, oh, I love this movie. Oh, this was so cute. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's because every single Pixar movie to me is a success. And there isn't one that I dislike. There's just some that I like a little more than others. Okay. Number 8, Brave, which was released in 2012. Merida, the impetuous but courageous daughter of Scottish King Fergus and Queen Eleanor, is a skilled archer who wants to carve out her own path in life. Her defiance of an old tradition angers the Highland lords and leads to chaos in the kingdom. Merida seeks help from an eccentric witch who grants her an ill-fated wish. Now, Merida must discover the true meaning of courage and undo a beastly curse before it's too late. Yo, this is a lit AF movie. Merida is bad AF, and this is one of the coolest Disney princesses TBH. All right? Yes. And I just loved how this movie focused a lot on a child-parent relationship, because it's just letting you know that y'all need to really take the time to appreciate your parents, because as you age, so will they, all right? Go call your mom and your dad or whoever is your guardian that you've known for the majority of your life. Tell them you love them, because you never know. You just never know, all right? I feel like, you know, I need to watch this movie with my mom because I love my mom so much. Number 9, Up. Which was released in 2009. Carl Fredrickson, a 78-year-old balloon salesman, is about to fulfill a lifelong dream. Tying thousands of balloons to his house, he flies away to the South American wilderness. But curmudgeonly, Carl's worst nightmare comes true when he discovers a little boy named Russell, who is a stowaway aboard the balloon-powered house. Such a cute movie. Oh my gosh, I cried. The first 5 minutes or so of the movie is tear-jerking. For real. Still not over it. The whole adventure of Carl and Russell is super freaking cute, and you can just totally tell that they have a lot of love for one another. Well, at least you can tell that Russell cares a lot for Carl. But, you know, Carl doesn't say it directly, but you can tell he still cares for Russell. So it's a pretty cute relationship. Number 10, A Bug's Life, which was released in 1998. Flick is an attentive ant who's always messing things up for his colony. His latest mishap was destroying the food stores that were supposed to be used to pay off Grasshopper Hopper. Now the strong-arming insect is demanding that the ants gather double the food or face annihilation. To avert disaster, Flick goes on a journey to recruit fighters to defend the colony. When he meets a band of high-flying circus insects, he thinks he's found his salvation. Yo. Wow. This is the only time I'll enjoy Bugs, because I know what they're saying and I know how they're feeling. But Bugs seems to just be really enjoying me, because I've been getting bug bites left and right, okay? If I gotta talk to them in English and ask them, you know, why y'all biting me, you know, maybe I'd feel more sympathy towards them. But right now, if I see a bug, I'ma annihilate it, okay? And anyway, I think that the Bug's Life attraction is so fun at California Adventure. Like, it's the one where you're watching them on the screen, and then all of a sudden, like, and then it's, like, interactive where you wear, like, those 3D goggles. That's so freaking cool. And it feels so funny when the bugs crawl in the seats. You're just like, oh my gosh, why are there bugs here? Ugh. But it's still pretty fun. And I also love Heimlich, which is the caterpillar who then becomes a butterfly. And he's so freaking excited about it. He's like, oh, I'm a pretty little butterfly. Or that's really not how he sounds. But if you've watched the movie, you know what he sounded like. Okay. And so that was my 10. And you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, why isn't Finding Dory on this list? Okay, well, I'm gonna just tell you now, so don't hurt me about it. I never watched it yet, okay? So don't come at me, don't fight me on it. I will eventually, and then when I do, I'll talk about it, okay? Just hold up for a bit, I'll get there. Okay, hi-ho, on a little break we go. After the break, I'm going to be talking about upcoming Pixar films. So yeah, stay tuned for that, and you're going to be staying tuned for the movie. So remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. Hi-ho, back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. Before the break, I was talking about my 10 favorite Pixar films. And now I'm going to be talking about some upcoming Pixar films. And I got all of this information from moviepilot.com. And that's spelled MOVIEPILOT.com. Okay, so if you're interested to read more, you can check it out over there. Okay, so the first one that I'm doing this in chronological order. So the one that's coming up the earliest and then coming up and then later down the line, what's coming later in the next few years. So number one, Cars 3. So this is coming out on June 16th, 2017. And this is a quote from the director, John Lasseter. Lightning McQueen, he's awesome. We've got some great new characters, some great racing in it. It's a very emotional story. It's a little bit more akin to Cars 1, where you get into a deep emotion with him. It's really a special story. It's very emotional, and his relationship with Doc Hudson and his memory of Doc Hudson. So I already see myself crying, because first of all, it says, it's very emotional and his relationship with Doc Hudson and his memory of Doc Hudson. So does this mean like Doc Hudson died? Like, oh my gosh, if that's so, if that's in the beginning, I'm going to cry because he was such a good character. And oh my gosh, oh, I hope he doesn't die. Oh wait, no, didn't he already die in the second movie? Yo, I haven't watched the second one in a while, but it's just so sad, the memory of him. Oh my gosh, it just gets to you. But I'm really excited for this. I really want to watch it. I can't wait. I'm def going to watch it, and I'm glad that it's coming just next summer. Like, that's so exciting, you guys. Okay, it's freaking great. Okay, number two, the next upcoming movie. So this is coming out November 22nd, 2017. So the only original movie on Pixar's current slate, inspired by the Mexican holiday Dia de los Muertos, or the Day of the Dead. And this story will follow a 12-year-old boy named Miguel, who sets off a series of events relating to a centuries-old mystery. Pixar began animation on the film in April of this year, so it hopefully won't be too long until we get to see some images and can really get our hopes up. This film is also directed by Lee Unkrich, who directed the Best Picture nominee, Toy Story 3. I'm excited for this. This seems like a really interesting story. I don't really celebrate this holiday, but I think it would just be really cool seeing, watching this movie and following this little boy on his adventures. And I'm sure along the way as we watch the movie, we get to learn more about this holiday and how these people celebrate it. I think it would be really cool to see. Number three, Toy Story 4, which will be released June 15th, 2018. So, quote from John Lasseter, Toy Story 3 ended Woody and Buzz's story with Andy so perfectly that for a long time, we never even talked about doing another Toy Story movie. But when Andrew, Pete, Lee, and I came up with this new idea, I just could not stop thinking about it. It was so exciting to me. I knew we had to make this movie, and I wanted to direct it myself. Apparently, this is going to be a love story revolving around Woody and Bo Peep. It was a very well-kept secret for a long time. So well-kept that even the president of Pixar and Disney Animation didn't even know it was being made. Woody and Buzz will be working together to find Bo Peep and bring her home, as she was absent in Toy Story 3. Famed composer Randy Newman will return to compose, and fan favorites Mr. Potato Head and Trixie will be returning. Sign me the hell up. I'm so freaking excited. I agree that Toy Story 3 definitely had the perfect ending, but this story just sounds so interesting, and I was totally just waiting for Woody and Bo Peep to have something going on. So this, yo, I'm excited. Number four, The Incredibles 2, which will be released June 21st, 2019. We know that since the second installment to the world of The Incredibles comes 15 years after the original, the timeline will mirror a reality with the events of the film taking place 15 years after the events of The Incredibles. So, first of all, I can't wait. 15 years later, like, okay, it's about to be lit. And it's going to be really cool seeing Jack-Jack as a teen and Violet and Dash probably as parents at this point. And then Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, like, hella old. So, this movie is definitely going to be just as iconic, maybe even more than the first one. But I don't know, we gotta see. We gotta wait till 2019. So whatever. But yeah, that's the end of today's The Eighth Dwarf. So hi-ho, that's the end of my show. Thank you so much for listening. And you can listen to The Eighth Dwarf every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. on radio.dominican.edu. So as Mickey Mouse would say, see y'all real soon.